How are you?
Good, thank you.
Well, there are. Some of them are probably. And this is where the public.
Sure. Right.
Call to order this 52nd meeting of the New Jersey Highlands Water Protection and Planning Council. My name is John Wengard. I live in Surgeonsville in Hunterdon County. Ask the other members to introduce themselves.
Jeff Shire, Morris County Freehold.
Tracy Carluccio, public member, Hunterdon County.
Bill Cochran, Mayor of Chester County.
Janice Kovach, town of Clinton, Hunterdon County.
Amy Letts, Precipity, Morris County.
Sandy Shaway, the Fayette County Freeholder.
Scott Whitenack, public member for Marshtown.
Glenn Vitrano, Sussex County Freeholder.
Eric Peterson, Hunterdon County Freeholder.
And on the phone we have?
Debbie Pasquarelli, Warren County Representative.
And walking quickly down the hall, we have Kurt Austin. So we have a quorum. This meeting was advertised in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act. All who wish, please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Members all have the agenda for the meeting, and members of the public, the agenda and other supporting documents are on the table as you came in. We have minutes from our last meeting on July 12th. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
Move the minutes.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Can you just second to the thing? If there are any corrections or changes from the members of the council to the minutes? Any members of the public notice changes in these?
Yes. Mentioned this at the last meeting that, you know, what they put in the minutes made it look like what they said was something different. Still haven't straightened it out. He added a phrase of one sentence of what I said, but it doesn't make it at all clear. You know, every time I submit written comments, so I don't think there's any excuse for this to keep happening.
So you're talking about the minutes, your comment in these minutes, in the meeting, the minutes from July 12th or from the previous meeting?
In these minutes, there's still a problem the way I see it.
Well, we will have the staff work with you and try to work that out, because we certainly don't mean to do that. Is there any other comments or corrections to minutes? Yes.
I have the same problem.
That'd be great. Thank you. Okay, with the provision that we'll make corrections to accommodate those two, or to correct those two public comments, we have a vote on the minutes. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
Abstain.
Okay. They still pass.
For Paula Chancenot, the abstentions were Janice Kovach, Debbie Pasquarelli, and Glenn Petrano.
And we have 11 members, 12, but they passed, the minutes passed. Chairman's report, just note a couple of things. I'm going to have a slight change in the order on the agenda. The brief items 8 and 9 on the agenda are going to follow item 12. That is to say, the executive session we will go into to discuss legal matters, as well as consideration of proposed amendments to the Highland Council bylaws. We will do after the executive director's report and the report on development of the regional master plan, and after the public comments. Everybody. As a result of the discussion of the regional master plan development later in the meeting, we will probably be changing the dates for the next Highland Council meetings now through the end of the year from the schedule that was published at the beginning of the year. So we will make that clear by the time the meeting's over and post that on our website. But for anyone who can't stay for the whole meeting, we're going to be
aware. Can you talk a little louder?
Yes. One other item I mentioned is at suggestion of Kurt Allstad, we prepared a letter to the governor to reiterate a position the council has taken before, and that is that the legislation concerning appraisal, the appraisal methodology and the use of two appraisals should be extended past the deadline that's in the Highlands Act. That's the position the council took before, but now, and we wrote to, written to the governor almost a year ago to say that, now as that 2009 deadline is coming closer, it really is starting to have potential impact on real estate sales in the Highlands and have a potential deterrent effect for landowners to enter into the program. So there is a letter that I will be sending to reiterate that point of view, and all members will get it as soon as it's finished, which it almost is.
Can I just add, John?
Yeah.
It is having an impact. The SADC, charged with farmland preservation, has already, they're not, they've already taken a position that they don't feel comfortable accepting any new applications now for farmland preservation because they are not clear which methodology will be used for forming the appraisals. So as a result, the CADGs, and I know Morris in particular, is not soliciting new applications right now because they don't feel they can complete the process before this deadline, and therefore farmland preservation is grinding to a halt.
Trying to emphasize in the letter that this is the only legislative amendment to the act that the council has endorsed so far. Indication of the importance we attach to it. Other members have comments this time? To the general good. Committee reports. There are two committees that have met over the past since the council last met on July 12th. The Personnel Committee met twice, both on July 12th after the council meeting, and then we met earlier this afternoon. All five members of the Personnel Committee were present for the meeting this afternoon, and what we discussed was the process the Executive Director has put in place to have performance assessment reviews for all employees, including herself, of the council, so that there are regular opportunities for appraisal of staff work and recognition of good work and of areas in need of improvement. We discussed the personnel budget for fiscal 08, the year we are now in, and we're supportive of the budget that that the staff has worked up and recommended that it now be considered by the budget committee. And we discussed the operation, the activities of the personnel committee, of the staff to try to fill the remaining vacant positions on the staff and the outreach is going on to try to do that as quickly as possible. The personnel committee meeting. The budget committee met, and I know Debbie Pasquarelli is on the phone, but I think, Debbie, you were going to ask Tom to give the report. Is that correct?
Yes, please, Tom, go ahead. We have a bad connection, John. I don't know how long I'm going to be able to participate.
You come in very clearly. But
yeah, I'm having trouble hearing at your end, but I did ask Tom to see his notes. I'm on vacation this week. Asked him if he would please review our proceeding.
Okay, the Budget and Finance Committee met on August 8th and considered last fiscal year's actuals versus budget and reported out on the general operating budget, the regional master plan budget, and our Highlands Protection Fund, which are grants to municipalities and counties. The general operating budget did have a surplus leading into fiscal year 08 of over $300,000. So the committee is now in the process of preparing the budget for fiscal year 08 for both the general operating budget and the regional master plan budget. It was agreed to create a new budget category for the plan conformance grants, anticipating as we move into implementation, we need to really fine-tune detail our budgeting for the plan conformance grants. And so the Budget and Finance Committee will be meeting again in September to finalize the FY08 budget. The additional activity that was taking place by the committee was the posting of a request for qualifications for a part-time financial services professional to provide support for council. So it's actually on the council's website. Professionals, either CFOs at a municipal level or CPAs, are encouraged to submit their qualifications for consideration by that committee.
Debbie, anything you want to add?
Nope. Thank you, Tom.
Comments or questions from members of the council? Okay. Moving right along, we're going to move now to items 10 and 11 on the agenda, which flow into each other, and that is the executive director's report and the report on development of the regional master plan. To date, so I'll turn to Eileen.
Good afternoon, and thank you. My report this afternoon will not follow the normal format, because normally I report on what the staff have been doing in the past period since we last met. And on this afternoon, I think much of that will be covered in the presentation from Charlie Seaman. So I'll leave that to that point so that we can move the meeting along. So I will cover certain things that wouldn't be covered in that presentation. I'd like to start by welcoming on board two new people. One is Emery Coppola. Emery, if you could stand, please. Thank you. Emery has joined the science unit. She has a PhD in hydrology and water resources with a minor in systems and industrial engineering. His graduate coursework was in water resources planning and management. So you can see our great interest in getting him on board. It's been a tremendous addition. He's also an expert in modeling. And his work experience in the past includes work as a hydrogeologist with the New Jersey Geological Survey, where he managed the State Wellhead Protection Program, and before that with DEP in the Bureau of Aquifer Protection. Welcome, Emery. We're thrilled to have you with us. I already feel that he's been here forever, and the same is absolutely the case of the next person. I'm delighted to let you all know that Dan Van Ass has sort of officially joined us, because he seems to have been with us forever. Dan, where are you? Dan is our new Senior Director of Science and Planning. Dan's background, many of you will know him, he's been working with the Council on loan for some time from New Jersey Water Supply Authority in the past, and more recently we stole him away, quite frankly, to join us because we value his talents and wanted him to be part of our team. He has a BS in Environmental Studies, a PhD in Environmental Science. He is a licensed professional planner in New Jersey and a member of the American Institute of Certified Planners. In his past, he was the director of the Watershed Protection Programs with the New Jersey Water Supply Authority. He worked with New Jersey DEP, during which time he had responsibilities for statewide water resource planning. During that time, he was also responsible for New Jersey groundwater supply standards. So again, you can see that it's a wonderful fit for the work we're doing. He also worked with the New Jersey Wellhead Protection Program Plan and the New Jersey Statewide Water Supply Plan. Again, Dan, we're thrilled to have you on board. Again, it feels like you've been here forever. The work that you've already given us, contributing to getting us to the final plan, has already made its mark here with us. So, welcome. On other issues, with meetings that we've had in the past, over the past month, you've already heard that we had our personnel committee meetings and the budget and finance committee meeting. We've had some more municipal and county, you know, the ongoing outreach and informational meetings. July 10th with Clinton Township, July 10th, 20th with the Highlands County Planners. Those are our regular meetings. We'll continue to have those. They've been very beneficial in forming that partnership between the Highlands Council and the Highlands County Planners. July 24th, a meeting with Hackettstown. July 20th, the Highlands Raritan Compact. We've had more state, federal, and agency coordination with July 31st with the New Jersey Water Supply Authority, August 2nd, Department of Agriculture, and the State Agricultural Development Committee, July 31st with USGS. More stakeholder coordination meetings, as requested. We have some of these are phone meetings, sometimes in-person meetings. We did have a meeting with the New Jersey Highlands Coalition. I wanted to let you know that there have been a couple of bills that the governor has signed that will have an effect on the work we do, in particular with the New Jersey Environmental Infrastructure Trust Fund. They've been focusing on the use of the funds that they lend to communities and authorities when it comes to wastewater management issues, infrastructure, and also for open space acquisition. When those projects are considered smart growth, they're lent at a 75-25% ratio, which results in, for the communities that use these funds, it's a than a quarter of the prevailing rate. So they're similar, really, to grant funds. And we'll be working in the future closely to make sure that the programs within the Highlands, when they're open space acquisition programs of that type, and infrastructure programs, and even the opportunity to work in on brownfield sites, on redevelopment sites, the best we can to advocate that those incentives are really used to the fullest extent possible within the Highlands region. So we're following up on that, and we'll be working with EIT on those bills.
Excuse me a moment. There are several people standing by the back, and there are some chairs. So if there's an empty chair next to you, why don't you raise your hand? And then sit down.
Those bills that I referred to, the one that, that speaks really to the utilization of those funds at the 75-25% split to benefit with the quarter of the prevailing rate, for any of you that are interested, it's A4345, and the Senate bill number is 2753. So we'll continue to work on those. The major focus over the past month really has been to lead us to the point we are at today. So you'll hear about that in the presentation from Charlie Seaman. But I did ask that the staff from the council are here at this meeting today. It's a particularly important day for us, and they certainly deserve to share in this. We've formed a great working relationship now with our consultants, Seaman and Larson. So I'd like to ask the Highlands Council staff to stand so that you can see who they are, those people that work for you. So if you please stand. There's some behind you on the other side as well. Thank you. You have represented here amongst our staff the units, the planning unit with our professional planners. You have the GIS unit who provide support in all that mapping that you see. The data and analysis is all from that unit. They support both the planning and the science units. You saw the science unit represented, and the legal unit. And I will tell you that they all wear many hats. The commitment and passion of these individuals is beyond compare. They are an incredible bunch to work with. I consider myself very fortunate to be able to call myself a part of this team. And the work that we're going to talk about as we talk about the presentation today and the ongoing work to bring you to a final plan under your direction is done on the backs of these folk. And I want to thank them personally and to say that I'm looking forward to a very exciting but rather intensive period as we march towards final plan. And but I value the passion and commitment you've shown and the fact that the hours of the day aren't marked on that you put into this. And I have absolute respect for you and look forward to giving up my family, in a sense, to embrace you more. And I know that my family have supported me, and I hope yours are as good as they seem to have been, as evidenced by the commission, the commitment and passion you have given to this task. And then moving on to Seaman and Larson. The last couple of months have been exciting ones for us. The staff has met, as you see them today, we've met in this room in a roundtable manner to work with Seaman, and we've also had Lane Kendig, who subcontracted to Seaman and Larson from the firm Kendig Keast, to meet with us. And we've heard all the voices, all the staff have had their share in this. They've all brought up their opinions, their concerns, in making sure that whatever we bring to you today, we can produce in an aggressive manner to meet the timelines that you will dictate to us. So we've, with Seaman and Larson, we've brought to the table with us, working with the staff, a firm that has extensive experience in regional planning and in legal matters reflective of the same. They're a nationally acclaimed firm, and they've had much experience in New Jersey. I know that I've spoken of them here before to you and to the audience here, so I hope that they really need no further introduction. So with that, I offer you up, Charlie Seaman. We'll both sit up here and take you to the next part of your agenda.
I'd like us to move Eileen so that you can use the
I don't think you need to move, because I think that the council members will have it in their packet, but we didn't make these documents public, so that if they're changed now, we can change it on the screen, because we need the direction of the council. So what we are going to talk about, though, we will highlight on the screen for you.
Welcome. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, members of the council, it's a great pleasure to be here. And I'm going to start by expressing our appreciation for the opportunity to work with you on what we think is one of the important programs in land or water resource management in this country. And we're proud to be here and look forward to working with you. I want to share just a couple of perspectives, because I have not worked with you before, though many of you I have met before. We work with our clients. You and your professional staff, we're not consultants that go off and do the work in our office and then deliver it. There is some of that, but it is a key element of our work that we work with your staff and with you, so that when our job is done, you don't have to call us to ask, why did we do this? You will have been a part of it. You will understand it. It will be a part of your participation. It is the council's plan. We're going to do a lot of work. We'll draft it, we'll write it, but ultimately we understand that it's your plan, and it's our job to bring you the information and the work you need to embrace it. Finally, I want to make it clear that we view what we're doing in the next this fall as building the next generation of that draft that was published in November and all the work that's been done today. We will do some things, we will reformat, we will reorganize, we will add some elements, but basically, I think you're going to find when it's all done, the fundamentals of where the axe pushes us, directs us, and where the work that's been done today that goes is going to be reflected in this next generation document. But it's going to be informed by public comment. Staff has done a wonderful job of working through all of that information, digesting it into at least a preliminary information that I've been able to look at and use as I've done my work. Council input that we expect to get from you directly. We've already had some. We've already had some that's been communicated to us from staff from prior work. There's some additional work that's been done since that November draft was published, and that will be in the product. There's some additional work we're now doing. It's been underway. It's going to be completed in a timely fashion. And then finally, we're going to bring our experience and some consultant resources that I think between our firm and Lane Kendig's firm, we have accumulated over 30 plus years of doing this, that we don't need to reinvent the wheel. Where we have a good functioning working wheel, we're going to use that to help close the gap on some of these areas of additional work. Now, this is my fourth trip to Chester since the 24th of June. I came out after having gone through and read the statute again, read the plan as carefully as I could, and came out with a lot of questions and to understand the work that had been done, to explain to me the land use capability map, the staff's understanding of what it represented. And we had a very exciting 2 days of hard conversations, many of them in this room, with everybody involved, about where we've been, where we are, where the ongoing work is, will it be completed in time to finish a plan draft by this fall. And I learned a lot and was very impressed with the active input and participation that your staff provided during those meetings. It saved me a lot of time having to dig out things, because they understood them and were thrilled to be involved, I think, in the process. And we had a wonderful dialogue. And I just want to echo that Eileen's comments. They've really, in the last 5 weeks, have done a spectacular job of responding to my requests. When I've asked for a reanalysis of something, or to explain to me, can you run two different layers of the map so I can understand what's happening? Can you run the forest and the actual ag lands so I can understand how the land use capability map finally resolves itself out to whether it's green or not. So they've done a tremendous job. Then after that meeting, our firm, my partner and I, went through the plan on a line-by-line basis and prepared what we call a critical analysis. And basically, it is a outline of what's there and questions that need to be answered, suggestions to ourselves about how it could be reorganized. We then review the technical documents. I've read all the technical support documents that have been prepared from cover to cover. I can't tell you that I understand every single word in the water resources elements, but I can tell you I understand what questions to ask for and to ask, and Dan has, since he's been on board, has been a tremendous resource to help me with that. We've had multiple meetings with staff. Every time I've been here, we've had not only one-on-ones about specific subjects or small groups about the land use capability map, but the entire staff in an interactive process. Because one of the things that I saw, I heard, I had the opportunity to attend one of the public comment meetings, and in that I heard a lot of questions about how does it all fit together? How I don't understand how it fits together. And so it was very important to me to work with all of your staff to try to understand whether, in fact, all the information and all the program elements exist and they're just not properly formatted and presented, or whether there were actually substantive gaps we needed to address. And in many cases, they said, this is an area where we're working. We haven't completed it yet, but this is when we hope to have it done. I did some test studies of some of the mapping units. I frankly found the map difficult to understand and appreciate, relate to the substantive programs, the data and analysis, and how it's synthesized out. And so I asked staff to do some additional runs for me of different, not of the lands model, but just different different layers on top of them, so I can understand what I'm actually seeing and understanding in the document. And we spent a significant amount of time looking at the land use capability map. I have a GIS urban planner who works for me, who did an independent assessment of both the methodology and the resulting maps to make sure that I understood fully what I was looking at and understanding what the representations are in the context of the programs and discussions in the plan document. We asked staff to do a detailed assessment of the work yet to be done and to be completed, what the resources that would be required to complete those efforts, and when could they be completed in a competent, proper form. That's critical for us to be able to generate this next generation plan. And so when I was here, I believe the second trip, we had a two-week period in which there were a series of assignments that they took on to do a very serious study of what needed to be done, what the resources that are available to do it, and when could it be completed, so that we could come back and build a work program that we could then set out how we would go forward and present to you what we believe can be, when we can complete the task. At the same time, I propose that we use an approach that I've used before, and that was to develop a table of contents, a different table of contents to the one that had been used in the November draft. One that, as somebody who's been involved in planning for a long time and works with a lot of local governments and a lot of private sector interests, something that made sense to me. And not necessarily use that table of contents as how the plan ought to be reorganized, but use it as a means of finding out what was really in the document. And so we agreed on a general table of contents, and so we went back while the staff was working on those assignments to determine those future work programs, and the land use capability map was one of the most important. We took the plan apart. We basically took it apart paragraph by paragraph and put it together again in a different order. We took all the goals, policies, and objectives, for example, that were in each different chapter, but was very difficult to understand how do they interrelate to guide a decision about a particular use of the land. We put them into a single element and ordered them in what we felt was a logical system. And what came out of it was a better understanding of both what is explicit in the document and what is implicit in the document, and we think needs to be explicit so that everyone can understand and embrace and discuss the various elements. That exercise gave us a fairly profound understanding of this document. It also illustrated the areas where the greatest amount of additional work, I think, needs to be done. We used basically an organization that was an introduction. The existing document has really three introductions, and we've consolidated them into a single one and in this exercise. The second was data and analysis. The third were the goals, policies, and objectives. The fourth were programs, land and water resource management programs. And the fifth are implementation. We took the elements in the document and reordered them. We didn't edit any except the goals, policies, and objectives. As I began to put the goals, policies, and objectives, and I did this personally, I found that some of them, when read together with other, didn't make any sense, and that they needed to be clarified and amplified. And so I did that editing. The results of that are, I believe that the introduction and the data and analysis is in very good shape. It needs to be edited. It needs to be de-jargonized. I think that some of the statistics that are in there really aren't necessary and actually detract from the ones that are important. And what I would say, it needs a good editing, but it's basically substantively complete. And with that, we believe we'll be ready for introduction into the next document. The one exception to that is that there are several additional pieces of work that are being done around the land use capability map, and those will have to be, some of that data will be inserted in what we now call the data and analysis section. The goals, policies, and objectives, I think, need a hard editing. There's some goals, some policies and objectives that don't really relate to a goal, and so we think there's some implicit goals or some material in the act that needs to be reflected. But I would say that the goals, policies, and objectives are in reasonably good shape and will be, I would guess, ready and in revised form in the month of September and available for review and consideration. The programs, the plan draft contemplated a pre-conformance set of activities that we believe need to be completed and incorporated in the plan. Our experience with a regional plan as opposed to a municipal master plan needs to be a document that very clearly outlines what are the complete elements of the plan that need to be considered during the conformance process. And then if you're going to take the regional plan and then conform municipal activity to it, you need to have a starting point. And so all the activities which are in the plan document, which talks about pre-conformance, we are going to complete and input, and Lane Kendig's firm will play a considerable role in filling the translating goals, policies, and objectives into implementable programs. The last element, implementation, I think the general areas of undertaking are outlined, some of them in the statute, some of them in the draft plan. I think they need to be harmonized and organized. We are suggesting they be organized according to the actor, the Highlands Council itself, municipalities, the counties and municipalities, other functional state agencies, the legislature, and even the federal government. But that is some supplementation, but largely, I think, a matter of reorganization. That is our assessment of where we are. Staff, at the same time, when we brought that assessment back, staff reported back to us what they thought they could fairly and competently complete this fall in terms of the unfinished work programs and the additional work we've identified. And we took that information and set it alongside the work program that I've described to you, and came up with a program that would allow us to provide a complete, and we are confident, competent draft regional master plan, the next generation, by mid-November before Thanksgiving. It's going to be a hard process. We had to adjust the meetings by days and weeks to make sure that we gave the GIS folks enough time to complete the document. But we are all standing here, everybody's in the room, standing behind me, and that we can do this and do it without compromise of the integrity of the document. It's a very short time period, but we're confident that we can do the kind of job we know you all want us to do in this time frame. And I want to, we are very comfortable we can do it. It doesn't mean that we're going to be able to work 3 days a week and finish it. It's going to be 6 days a week to get it done. But it's, in some ways, it's better to do it and do it intensely than to work on it, lay it down, pick it back up, and work on it. This is going to be a program, I think, of some activity. Now, I would, we've proposed to the chairman, we've discussed with the chairman how to present this information to you as we prepare it. We think it would be difficult to finish the entire plan and then present it to you. And so what we've done is suggest a series of workshops, not meetings, in which we would present information to you and we would get your input and at the end of the meeting, public comment regard to it. We wouldn't ask you to vote on anything. We would just sort of, we'll tell you what we're doing, get your reaction, and if we're going in the wrong direction, we hope that your comments will tell us that and that we'll be able to make the appropriate adjustment to be sure that when we do produce the document, that it will be one that is responsive to the statute, responsive to the needs of the Highlands themselves, and responsive to you all as the council. The schedule is behind you. We propose starting on September 6th. And at September 6th, we would bring to you the substance of these additional work programs that and the assumptions and choices we're recommending going forward. We are recommending, for example, that we rerun the land use capability map, that we refine some of the data that we know from public comment was not as good as it could have been. We now have the capability of running it based on digital data, not on raster images. We know that the map will be different. How different? We have some estimates that it will be 5 to 10% maybe adjustments. But we've made the judgment professionally that in order to be responsive to public comments, to use the best available information, we have the time and we can devote the resources to redo the map as a part of this work program. There are a series of other assumptions, decisions, recommendations that are included in this program. And some of them are a little more complex, and we are still working on resolving some of those issues. And so we're going to bring that to you for September 6th. Again, we're not asking you to vote on them, but we want to make sure you understand that we've made a decision, we made a recommendation, and an internal decision to go forward to run, redo the lands model and run the land use capability map, and that you're comfortable with the rationale for doing that and that it is something we have the capacity to do in a competent and professional fashion. So that's the first thing we're going to bring to you, and there are a whole series of subjects. We will distribute that information to you all in advance of the meetings, and so that you will be able to review and understand what we are discussing. The second piece of the effort is one that emerged from the dialogue among staff. I had suggested at the outset that I felt that the plan lacked a synthesis of what it all meant, particularly to someone who wasn't a scientist or a very experienced planner. And during the discussion of the table of contents that we prepared, it became clear to us from our conversations with staff that the plan is missing a synthesis, and I don't know whether to call it a vision or what, but it's what's the existing character, not just the science of the region, but the human element of the communities, the quality of life, the character, its diversity, is not well articulated. You have to connect your own dots to understand what it all means. And so we have recommended to Eileen that we include, and for the working purpose, I called it a vision, though it's really going to be more of an articulation. And I've my working title for it is that it's the existing and future regional and community character of the Highlands. And it's what is it today, both regional character, what's the local community character, and then what is the future? In another conversation that I had yesterday, it became clear to me that one of the things that I look for was a clear articulation of the resource assessment that's required by the statute, and then I fell into the same trap that the prior authors have of not breaking it out separately, but it's the critical linkage between what is and what will be in the future is that resource assessment, and so that will be a part of this new existing future regional and community character element, and that will be presented to you for your meeting on September 20th? Right. September, yes. 20th. I have a schedule actually here somewhere. I believe that this will be an important framework subject. It is accelerated to produce this, but I think the context is part of the challenge that many readers have had of understanding this document and appreciating what does it mean for me. And I think there's been a lot of misunderstanding, frankly, about what the document really means in some ways, and that this will help to clarify that. The next item that we would present is this revised goals, policies, and objectives. It will be done, I think, pretty close to simultaneously with the vision, but we're going to present it to you after the vision, because depending on your input and public comment to that vision description, that may affect some of the goals, policies, and objectives that are going to be included. And that would be presented for your consideration on October 4th. And the schedule that you have indicates the time of those events. The next item will be a discussion of the lands model. And I want to make sure that everyone understands that that's not going to be a date in which the new land use capability map is going to be presented. It's going to be when staff is going to come back with the lands model, the update, what the elements are that have been achieved. I'm sure there'll be some illustrations. But at the last part of it, there's going to be a lot of testing to assure that the map runs are competent and complete. And they have been, we pushed them as hard as we reasonably can without compromising the integrity of the effort. So we're going to be able to inform you of what it is, but the actual map won't come forward until the full draft is completed. Theoretically, we're looking at the 16th of November to produce that. For you. Then on the 8th, we're going to deliver to you, on the 8th, we're going to discuss what is now going to be the chapter 5, which are the land and water resource management programs. And those are the substantive programs that will be the subject of implementation include not actual texts of proposed ordinances or regulations, but we'll have the substantive elements of them. For the full array of programs, and every goal, every policy, and every objective should have a program that serves that those goals, policies, and objectives. And those will be presented to you on the 8th of November. And then we will receive your comments and make the appropriate modifications and changes and additions, and then we'll deliver to you the a draft scheduled for November 16th. And that is the work program that we are proposing to meet ourselves and asking you to provide us with your input on that sequence of workshops as we go forward. As I said earlier, it's a very tight schedule. It's going to press us all, but I believe it is one that's can be met, and we look forward to providing you with this next generation of the plan. Mr. Chairman, I think that's all I have affirmatively to offer. I'd be glad to answer anybody's questions.
Okay, well, let me just add a few things and then we'll open it up. I think what we've talked about and what two of you have recommended is the council meetings, and Charlie, you said this in passing, the council meetings over the next couple of months would be, at least for this part of the discussion, would be essentially workshops as opposed to meetings. There might be other matters we have to vote on concerning contract or something else during the course of the meetings, but for these discussions would be a more informal discussion that would occur during the council session. At the end of the session, we have a public comment period, but we wouldn't have public comment on a specific aspect as we're going through it. And council members would weigh in with comments that day on that section, or I guess within a few days after that to get written comments, but this is going to be a fairly fast moving train, with the understanding that when we get to the mid-November meeting where we have the entire document in front of us, we can all make any amendments that we think are necessary.
So, excuse me, could the speaker speak up? I can't hear
him. Yeah, I'm speaking from my microphone. So it could be that there are issues raised in these workshop sessions by one or two or several council members that are in the air and made available to the staff and the full council, and then when the final plan, this document comes to us in mid-November, members of the council want to propose amendments to change language in that draft, and we'll walk and vote on those, and the language would be amended accordingly. Come mid-November, what we would be voting on would be a revised draft, a final draft plan, as opposed to a final plan. We are not legally bound to have any further public review of this document before we publish it as a plan, but what we've discussed is that we would put out a revised draft for a quick public review, for a 30-day public comment period with a public hearing, and we would then move to adopt, review the public comments we received then, and adopt a final plan, with the goal of adopting a final plan around the end of January. So that was how this would all play out. We did that. I just wanted to add that to the discussion. But as Charlie said, it's an ambitious goal, but it also recognizes where we all are, I think, of wanting to get this plan done, recognizing the importance of getting it done, and building on all the groundwork that's gone on to date to get us to this point, including all the public comments we received on the earlier draft, which is part of the data that they are going over now as they prepare the revised draft. Questions?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Address this to Mr. Seaman. I have tremendous respect for you. I know you work. I've met you before. We actually worked together on another occasion. And I'm very impressed by what you told us today. And I don't mean to sound ornery about this, but we've heard a lot of words in the past, and I can see on the faces of some of the people who are listening to us today that they feel they've heard this kind of thing before, too. And I know that you're more than capable of responding to the unasked question here. What makes what you're going to do different from what has been done before, and to what extent can we trust what you'll be able to do within the time that you allotted to do it?
Well, I think the simple answer is that we have brought a distant perspective to the table, a perspective that's grounded in now, for me, 32, and for Lane, 34 years of working in this kind of project and doing it successfully. And I put, frankly, all of that at risk when I stand here before you and say, in a state where I'm extremely proud of the role that my partner Wendy Larson and I played in the Pinelands and in the state plan, at risk by promising you that I can do this. And we've given it a lot of serious consideration. I am relying on staff, but staff has justified to me how they will do this work. Every day I feel a little more confident, frankly, as I work through this. The reorganization, one of the reasons I did the reorganization was to comfort myself that, in fact, a lot of the work is done. It just needs to be reformatted and represented. You know, that's all I have to offer. But I've done I have a pretty good track record of bringing home. I also have to say that Eileen is have been working with me in a remarkable way, and we have made an enormous amount of progress in just 5 weeks, starting from dead zero. And so, I will tell you that if we can't do it, we're going to be the first one, and we can't do it competently and have great integrity of it. We'll be the first ones to raise our hand.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, can I just respond, just to say from the staff perspective as well, I know that that Jack's comment was, his question was to Charlie, but just to let you know that the staff also, they're on the line on this as well. And this wasn't, you know, we asked them, what can you do, and what can you do competently? And they were asked to respond to us with timelines, because, you know, we didn't want to say to them, do this. It was more, what can you do? Can it be done competently? What do you need? And give us a timeline. So every one of them is with us here today in saying that they've said that they can meet this schedule in a way that we believe will meet your demands, and we know how demanding that can be. But so they're with us on this. This is a true partnership, and the staff are ready behind this and have said we can do the job.
And if I may, Mr. Chairman, that's one of the reasons why we wanted to come to you with portions of the work so that we can build confidence in the audience, in the public, and in you, that we are actually making meaningful progress and that you can have confidence and judge us fairly on the progress we're making.
Like one difference of what they're proposing to do from the way the draft plan was, we addressed the draft plan a year ago, is that the documents we're going to be seeing at each of these meetings over the next couple of months are going to be sections of the draft sections of the draft plan. So it's not what we did last year was more we were seeing issue papers that were then getting revised into a different format, where even if the policy was exactly the same, it was a little confusing to say the least. And so here we're going to be seeing sections of the plan, which I think will make a difference.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Charlie, are you going to be here yourself for these sessions then, these upcoming sessions?
Yes, ma'am. I expect to be at all of them, even though I don't know that I'll play an active part in the LANS model presentation, but I have all of these on my calendar, and I expect to be here. I'd also like to make sure that in some further supplementation, you know, the science that's been assembled is really pretty great stuff. And so we start from a very good position. You know, maybe the plan wasn't as clear and as easy to understand, and maybe there's some things that are implicit in it that need to be explicit, and I'm confident of that. But a lot of work has been done. A lot of work has been completed and done well.
Well, I really like the way you're proposing to break it into the elements and then have each of these things come at a work session. And I think, you know, we found the work sessions in the past to be a very helpful format in terms of the council participating. I think one of the stumbling blocks that we ran into is the mechanics of how you get the piece and then comment on it and then get your comments back in a timely way. Do you expect that when we get these documents to prepare for the meeting, say 10 days ahead, and this might be an Eileen question, that then we would comment back by email, or should we come to the meeting prepared with comments? I'm just, you know, thinking about how voluminous the discussion is on these various elements that, that we can expect. And how do we get our, you know, edits or comments or questions submitted before the meeting, or is that not going to be productive?
It would be productive, the sooner the better, quite honestly. As much as you can alert us in advance of the meeting, then we can be prepared, and if we need to take a step back, we can be prepared for that meeting. So it's sort of like giving us, you know, an opportunity to address it before we actually have that public meeting. So I will welcome that. I will be your conduit, but there will be obviously opportunities and necessity to talk to the staff who are the masters of the technical nature and the work themselves. So, but I will be the conduit, and we are at your service. Given as well, though, that they're already preparing the next component, and I recognize that, but we have to be responsive to you so as soon as possible. So it'll be by phone. If you need to call me and say, I've got an issue, I need, you know, I need some answers, we'll do it that way. By email, we'll take it that way as well. And then also at the meeting, some things may come up as they are inclined to do so when you're talking together. So we'll respond each way, so we'll work before and after on the elements as well as preparing for the next.
And then I would expect that if we have some disagreement that we can't resolve at a meeting, we may have to prepare ourselves for extra meetings even beyond this in order to work out issues. I mean, we can't extend the schedule. We're committing ourselves to a schedule, and the way I understand it then is that we would have extra meetings in between if issues come up that need to be addressed by the council.
That's right. Yeah. Because I think the council meetings are going to revive the gavel. I think we're going to have to keep the discussion focused and make sure when people get their points on the table that, you know, all of us recognize we've made our point and we don't need to remake any of that if someone disagrees with it. That's going to be, you know,
and I did talk, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, I also didn't say that of course I will be in constant communication with Charlie. We've fallen into a pattern, so we'll stay in that too, so that when you give me comments, questions, concerns, whatever it is, I'll be talking to Charlie regularly as well.
And I might also say that several of the meetings, Lane Kendig will be here and will play, as the principal from Kendig Keys, a very active role, particularly in the program's presentation.
Can I ask a follow-up question? One of the things you said was that there's no need to reinvent the wheel. To the extent possible, you're willing to take existing wheels and utilize them. What exactly did you mean by that, and to what would it apply?
Could the speaker speak up, please?
I'll restate the question. It's, I referred to the comment was that there's no need to reinvent the wheel. If you've got a perfectly well-designed program that's been in place somewhere and is working and, as we make a judgment, is easily adaptable to this condition, we will do that. Both Lane's firm and our firm have, over the last 30 years, done a number of projects of around the country where we've developed management programs. And many of those landscapes or settlement patterns are very similar to things that are here. And so I think Lane has about 25 different clustering programs that he's developed in his career. We have a similar library. We've also, on four separate occasions, prepared handbooks for land and water management for Allegheny County in Pennsylvania. We did it for Lexington, Lafayette. And they're books of model ordinances, frankly, that have been, we've prepared for a particular application, but have in these handbooks, which we've prepared and used, we're going to start with those resources in supplementing the material that is either in the text of the plan or are appended to it that you all think is appropriate. And that's what I mean by not reinventing the wheel.
Okay.
Could the speaker restate their question of why? I didn't understand what reinventing the wheel related to.
It was in my remarks that during the work, one of the reasons we could complete this in a timely fashion is that we've had a lot of experience developing programs for clustering in agricultural areas. I would guess that Lane and I have done, between us, as many as anyone in the country.
So the question was raised as a concern that we weren't reinventing the wheel?
He just asked me to clarify what
clarify. I clarify. Understood. Thank you very much.
You had to be there.
One of those things.
Other questions?
I know you've said, Mr. Seaman, you had a chance to go through all the data and the scientific. How about the public's comments? Were you able to go through them as well?
Well, I'm not going to tell you I read every comment, though I set out to do that, but I didn't have enough time. But I have read, the staff has been working on a summary document of them that organizes them. And as each of those draft elements has been completed, I've been reading them. And I feel like I have a pretty good handle on the kind of concerns, both about substance and about formatting and understanding, so I feel pretty good about that. But that's an ongoing process.
Okay.
I mean, as I'm working, I have a series of documents on my desk. One of them is a stack of public comment documents that I've ordered of the ones that I think are the most important. Mm-hmm. I have a statute there as well.
Also, for the council, Charlie referred to a working draft document that we've put together on the consolidation. I have that ready to give to you this evening as when you're leaving the meeting, make sure that I give it to each of you. It's still a lengthy document, it's still a work in progress, but it's certainly a consolidation that will help you to focus in the same manner as we've been assisting Charlie. That was some of the more ongoing work we've been doing so that we're ready on January, at the end of January, with final to also have the responses to, a response document to the comments.
Charlie, I don't know if you mentioned this here, but you also had the pleasure of being in one of our public hearings during the winter on the draft plan.
I'd just like to make a comment, and I made it yesterday on the conference call, but an awful lot of the comments that we got as we went around in the public hearings had to do with the fact that a lot of lake communities were colored purple. And a lot of purple areas essentially are in a deficit water condition. So I just want to reiterate that we've got to address those situations before we come out with the next plan.
And those are two of the major work programs that we're going to describe for you at the next meeting, what the work program is and what the assumptions are that we're proceeding on. But those are two of the major elements of what staff is working on.
No other comment. This is all very exciting and ambitious and scary, so we're delighted to have you on board.
Don't be scared.
John, I have several questions.
Oh, yes, appropriate. Go ahead.
And Charlie, I have to apologize. You and I have been ships passing the night. I haven't had a chance to actually meet you yet. But hello. Glad you're bored.
Thank you very much.
Happy to hear what I heard today. I did want you, and I apologize, I'm not in a controlled environment here, and that's my dog barking in the background. I hope she's not too loud. Could you clarify what you were saying with regard to the raster files? I missed a word here and there, and I didn't quite follow that whole issue. Could you expand on that, please?
I'm not going to pretend that I'm an expert on geographic information systems. I'm not a the original land use capability map was prepared on the basis of what are raster maps. They are digitally produced, but they don't constitute digital data that can be manipulated by the computer. Subsequent to the production of that map, staff has been, the data has been converted to a real digital form so that it can now be run with varying degrees of analysis to test how the interrelationship of two sets of data is on a spatial basis. And it's now called the Land Use Analysis Decision Support System. And it is, instead of a fixed map produced from fixed data, it is an analytical tool that can manipulate data sets that are in it to illustrate the interplay between certain information. And that's a major advance in the utility of it as a tool and its ability to respond to goals, policies, and objectives and to serve resource management programs.
it will also assist the county planners and others such as them who had criticisms of the old model. This is will be GIS user friendly.
Can I ask, does this make it easier for us to share this data with the counties?
Yes, it will be when it's completed. Absolutely,
right,
will be.
Roger.
Roger's working on that very with his team.
Debbie, did you have other questions?
Yeah, related to the process for presenting, whether it's chapters or elements, as Charlie went through, each of these bi-monthly meetings that are going to occur. How, and this is just a practical process question, if we don't, we're only going to take two votes then. We're going to take a vote at, I guess it was a revised draft plan to release for comments, and then at the end a final adoption. How do we in that process prevent the situation where if we don't resolve issues on which there's not unanimity along the way, how do we not end up in a situation, I'll use a facetious example, there's 15 issues and there are 15 council members deeply concerned about each one of those issues that prevents any one of us from voting on adoption of the final plan. How do we prevent that kind of situation from occurring? And I guess maybe that's not a good way of explaining it. Wouldn't it be better to resolve some of the controversial issues along the way and we can put them to bed so that when we come to a final vote, we've already hashed some of these things out rather than we get there and I say, I can't vote for the plan because of X, which has never been resolved, and someone else says they can't vote for the plan because of Y and whatever. What are your thoughts on that, Charlie?
Well,
because you've been through these kinds of things many times.
My experience is that during the plan preparation process, we're relatively successful in getting a sense of what is or is not likely to be acceptable to the council as a whole when they finally come to a final decision. Our experience is, and it may come, that you will have to change the format and you'll have to have a formal meeting and resolve something that is a point of significant division, and we would probably ask you to do that if we felt we couldn't go forward. But our experience is that as the pieces start to accumulate, those positions take on a different hue and character, and you start striking a better balance, and that the ultimate resolution is best made when the document is complete and all the elements are before you. But my recommendation would be if we come to one of those points where the council is uncomfortable with us proceeding without resolving one or more issues, then we certainly are going to recommend that we take that up and address it. And we would probably recommend that you have a separate meeting with a specific called meeting to address those specific issues at that time.
That answered it. Thank you. My last question is for the chairman. John, I don't see that the Plan Development Committee has had any role in where we've gone the last 2 months. Where do you see it being from here on out?
Well, I see us basically operating, for the full council, operating as a committee of the whole. Out that there may be individual, I mean, certainly budget and personnel will have reasons to meet. There may be other committees that have reason to meet, but for the most part, the substantive work on the plan is going to be conducted by the full council in these work sessions every 2 weeks.
John, I'd just like to comment on Ms. Pasquarelli's search for unanimity on an issue. I don't think that we are necessarily going to achieve unanimity on all of these issues, and I don't think it's necessary for us to do that. The council will vote, and in the true democratic fashion, majority will rule. Whether one votes in the end for the finished plan or not is up to the individual member. But on these individual separate issues, I think we'll have good discussions, and that the good discussions will result in one side or the other prevailing.
Yeah, I agree. I think this was implicit, but in the or maybe even explicit, but in the the vote on the final draft plan and on the final plan, there'll be lots of opportunity for members to make the proposed amendments to the document that will either carry or not carry. And then, as Jack says, each member will have to decide whether they're comfortable voting for the resulting document, even if some of their amendments might not have passed.
Hey, John, if I may clarify, my concern isn't that we're not going to get 15 members to vote for the plan. My concern is that we wouldn't get 8 members to vote for it.
No, I understand that.
One last comment. The more words you can take out, the better.
Amen.
Right. Small is beautiful. Another comment. Thank you so much. And we'll see you again very soon and often.
You will.
So we're going to move now to a public comment period. Members of the council, we have a couple of items on which we have to vote through the bylaws and after the executive session. So what I'm going to try to do is limit the public comment period until 6 o'clock. Maybe there aren't that many comments. Then take a quick break for us to get some food and then meet the executive session. So hopefully we could do the executive session and the bylaws discussion by 6:30, because I think there's one or two members who have to leave then. And then if we haven't gotten to all the public comments by 6, we'll have more public comments at the end. Okay, is there anybody who would like to speak who has never addressed the Highlands Council before? Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, Chairman, members of the council. My name is Hal Danielson, and before environmentalism became a word, I was in it as a young boy, teaching it, and as a high school student, the Y camps, things like this. I was a recipient of the Hornaday Award Medal. That's the, basically they call it the Olympic Medal for conservation. I was curator and director of museums within the state of New Jersey. I lectured to the graduate divisions in the state of New Jersey on outdoor education, and this was a program that I was helping develop. I did teach natural history in the state of New Jersey as well. Then I found out, to my dismay, I'm getting married, and hey, this is great fun, but it doesn't pay any money.
We ask people to try to keep their comments to about 3 minutes. So
basically, I have properties in the borough of Hampton. I have a subdivision which is going in there, which was approved preliminarily 1989. I was asked by a major developer to tie into his development. I refused to do so, and this is due to the fact that it would have made many homes being built in that area, and I did want to limit the growth as much as possible. I then had my approvals, and that in 2003, my septic designs were completed, the engineering work was done. I spent about $60,000 in engineering and legal fees for this. The town then asked me if I would go ahead and put in a easement for a water line to this newer subdivision next to me. I agreed, because that meant a fire hydrant and protection for the northern section of the town. Fine. Right after this was done, the Highlands hit. That took away the entire project. It took away my life savings on this thing. The end result, I had all of the work done, it was completed. I did look at the properties that we had in the HRIS, Highlands Regional Information, which was put out by the Department of Forestry, USD Forestry, as well as the Rutgers State Universities. And I earmarked my properties in that. On water use, agricultural use, everything, it has the lowest priority. And Here's the information if you care to look at it. I have it there. As an end result, this hit us financially extremely hard. Right now, I am in foreclosure on my home because of it. The monies that we had counted upon, that we could have lived very well, you know, not very well, but we could have been comfortable for the rest of our lives, is gone. I'm losing my residence. We don't even know where we're going to live. We have no family members. And again, this is one of the things that have been brought about by the Highlands Act, which hit us very hard. And I only missed it for a short period of time by trying to be a good guy and supply fire protection to the upper part of the town. Had I not done this or agreed to this, which I saw no harm, in fact, a benefit, I would have been okay. And my little subdivision of 4 units would have passed. That's all I wanted. It was little 4 units, 2 acres, all approved, ready to go, no variances, nothing. And as a result, I'm out in the cold. I guess there's nothing I can do. I've just lost. I don't know if the Highland Council has any comments on this or not.
We don't have any comments. I think we can, I don't know if you talked to members of our staff about whether there are any suggestions they have of ways you can proceed. But if you haven't, I would suggest make sure Paula has your name and we'll talk to you and see if there's anything we can do to any advice we have to offer.
Another thing, at one time I was manufacturing. I have all my plans. I was going to start manufacturing again within the borough of Hampton. And they had a little piece of property there that was zoned commercial, and I was going to put up an R&D facility there. My specialty is in pulverizing. However, that land was taken away from the borough as well, and it's useless. My property, I can't farm it. It's too small. 10 acres is not viable to farm. I have already started a plant that the state introduced, which is called multiflora rose. They introduced that years ago, thought it was a good thing for soil control. As a result, it's taken over. Now, multiflora roses, yeah, they might look nice, but they damage all the other plant life in the area. They choke it out. And when they do that, if they cover an area, what you have then is a growth in the rodent population. This is because the natural predators can't get to them. And when you have your rodent population expanding the way it will, then you'll have an increase in Lyme disease, which is another bad effect of this plant. So, you know, if it was well designed, the areas that we were going to do with proper easements and that were put in, the watershed management programs have already been taken care of. Even before the state did it, I was using the Maryland stormwater management programs, which actually is the Bible for all of this. But I tried to go do the right thing, and as I said, I got slammed.
Mr. Chair, if we'd ask Mr. Dennison to give his contact information to Sabina, then we'll have someone contact you from our staff and at least address your issues and see if we can offer advice.
Thank you. Somebody else in the back? Yes.
Good afternoon. I'm Andrea Naidu. I'm from Independence Township, Warren County. I came before you last month to bring your attention to the Liberty Square development in Independence Township. This 8.9-acre parcel in the Highlands Preservation Area is in the Highlands Preservation Area. At that time, their application for an exemption was before you and the New Jersey DEP Bureau of Watershed Management. I felt it necessary to bring your attention to the critical nature and details of this exemption application. During the public comment period, we submitted a very thorough report to you and to the NJDEP expressing our concerns with the application. Unfortunately, on July 26th, just 4 working days after the public comment ended, Liberty Square was granted their exemption. How could this happen?
This application to date has no viable stormwater management system plan. It has a disapproval from Warren County Planning Board stating 78 reasons for their denial. There are no revised plans yet submitted to Independence Township, and none of the many, many conditions of approval have been met. This project sits on the HMUA wellhead protection area. The site, with greater than 30% slopes, has a karst geology and sinkholes posing a threat to the HMUA well system. There is to date no letter from HMUA granting a service commitment to this project. The single-page plan on record with Warren County Soil Conservation shows drainage pipes funneling water onto the county roads and to downstream properties, which is prohibited by Warren County. Why was this not looked at closer? Is this not exactly what the Highlands legislation was designed to protect? Why did no one demand accountability for a workable stormwater plan? How could an exemption be given based on a conditional approval? On July 26th and the week following, the 8.9-acre, heavily wooded, deeply forested lot was stripped to the bare ground. What will now absorb the water? How severe will the flooding be to the neighborhood downstream? Independence Township gave them a building permit without meeting any of the conditions of the approval. Under the guise of building only a retaining wall to beat the August 10th deadline, they managed to rape the entire site. Much of their time and resources each day was spent stripping the land bare. Why was this allowed? Did anyone on this council even look at the application for exemption? Did anyone on this council read the public comments supplied in opposition to the application for this exemption? I don't know as of yet whether they made the August 10th deadline. There was approximately 30 feet of base course of a retaining wall in place on Friday, the 10th of August. They continue to work on the site that weekend and are still working to date. Independence believes that they can restore this 8.9-acre site using a $25,000 bond they required for the issuance of the permit. When we questioned the activity, we were told they are only doing, quote, site prep. How can you do such extensive site prep without approved plans? How ridiculous is that? How do you possibly restore the damage? As of today, the excavation is still continuing. I might note that 2 years ago, the developer's attorney approached our attorney after a public meeting on this application in Independence Township. He told our attorney to tell us that we were going nowhere with our efforts because this project was going through despite our objections. He stated that his firm represented people in high places in New Jersey government. We did not believe that to be possible, but we are learning now that it is. If possible, may I request that we be notified if Liberty Square did make their August 10th deadline. They are still doing extensive excavating on this parcel.
Thank you.
This, by the way, is the comments that we supplied for the application.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, we are aware of the project. Okay. We did receive the comments, and if this is within the purview of DEP, they did. We don't issue the exemptions. They do, and they did in this case. I'm not commenting whether that was correct or incorrect. I'm just mentioning the facts, but also to say that the decision as to whether they had the foundations in place to meet the exemptions under the Highlands Act, again, is under the purview of DEP, not of this body. But we have spoken to DEP about the project, and so that's as much as I can offer you on it.
Thank you.
When will
Thank
we
you.
Know whether or not they've met their deadline?
That would then be up to DEP.
Would construction stop? Pardon me?
You would have to talk to DEP about that, because the law makes that their responsibility to make that determination.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Well, was there someone else who has not spoken to the council before? Oh, there was. Okay. Is there anyone who might have spoken to the council once or twice or 20 times? Who would like to say anything? Yes, sir.
Afternoon, everybody. I appreciate the time here.
that you people are putting in. And again, it's great to be here in the afternoon. My name is Hank Klopp. I'm a farmer. I own 150 acres in the preservation area in Tewksbury. Why, after 3 years, the Highlands act churlishly sung, would the council be trying to collect scientific data now? I still want to see the scientific data that put my property into the Highlands preservation area and have concluded, after everyone I've spoken with, there is none and never was any. Trenton politicians want to preserve my land, but they don't want to pay me what it's worth. Equity. Farmers rely on it. When it's gone, a farmer's future is in jeopardy. Farmers depend on equity for survival. When real estate value on land is taken away, banks turn their backs. I've been told that Trenton would compensate landowners because the Highlands Act never hurt anyone. How can anyone of sound mind expect property owners to accept the pennies on a dollar that our now property values have been stolen? And then unrealistic environmental restrictions added by people in charge of making major decisions for our property, but have nothing to lose themselves. Do any of you on this council know how it feels to be robbed? As a farmer with 150 acres in the Highlands Preservation, I'm being told that I can build one additional house on it. I have 9 grandchildren. As unjust as it is, tell me that only one house can be built on the family farm. But please compensate me with the value of my land so I can help my other 8 grandchildren build a house somewhere else one day. Trenton wants my property. They can't afford to buy it, so they are taking its value from me and asking you to justify the theft. The only fair ending to this whole fiasco is that the farmers are fully compensated and suffer no financial loss. What part of that fair conclusion does the council and the environmentalists not understand? Thank you very much for letting me speak here today. And there is one other thing. After the meeting, I'd be willing to answer any questions you have for me, even though you never answer mine. Thank you again. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Wilma Fry, New Jersey Conservation Foundation. I would just like to be assured that the public will be able to see the documents that are going to be presented in advance to the council, for the workshops, also in advance of the workshops, so that we can look at them and have intelligent responses to offer at the end of the workshop sessions, of each session.
That's not our intention. Our intention is that the council members will get the documents, because these will be very rough documents, and there may be corrections that will be made in the week and a half before the council meets, and then the document under discussion will be available at the council meeting. The members of the public who want to submit comments shortly thereafter will be able to do so.
May I remind as well that there will be a public comment period, and that these drafts will be in response to the comments received and that this is on the basis of the draft document that was released November 30th. So I'm very cognizant of your concerns, Wilma, but the object of the exercise was to give it to the council members. They may make some changes before it becomes part of a public discussion, but there will be opportunity after that as well. We'll be privy to that discussion, obviously, and then to give us responses after that and during the public comment period, which the chair has said will occur after the release again of this final.
You do anticipate then, though, that the document under discussion at a particular workshop will at least be available at that meeting?
Yes.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Robin O'Hearn, Skylands Clean. I wasn't planning to speak today, but when I heard the woman from Independence Township, there's such a similar situation going on in West Milford, I thought I'd bring it to your attention since it seems to be a trend. There is a development there called Green Valley Estates. It includes 17 homes on 77 acres. It was a cluster development, and it was approved back in 2003 for a major subdivision. The approval expired last July. Since July, a road has been put in. There have been, all 17 lots have been cleared, and two homes have been built, but that developer has no final approval. And so they're doing this all based on an expired approval, and it appears to be some sort of end run around the act. So we're in the process of writing a letter to the DEP, but I just thought I'd bring it to your attention as something that appears to be happening as people are getting anxious to get started. Thank you.
Thank you.
Julia Summers, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. Nobody said anything positive. I want to say something positive. I was thrilled to bits by what Mr. Seaman had to say to you today and to us in the audience. We're very excited about the direction that you are going. I think that we're really looking forward to seeing some very good, some really needed improvements to the plan. This certainly seems to be a great outline to address many of the comments that you have received. I have tried to figure out what Chapter 3 is, but I cannot. There it is, existing and future. Thank you. Please leave it there for a minute. and I will talk to staff afterwards to try and figure out what's happening on what day. Wilma brought up a very important issue. I recognize that the public has an opportunity to comment at the end of this process when we have the final draft. But would it be possible to at least allow the public to comment for, say, a couple of days after each meeting, by perhaps, since most of the meetings are on Thursday, by perhaps the end of business on the following Monday, to comment in writing if there are substantive issues that we believe should be considered?
Julie, we've always taken public comment in written form, no matter when it comes, no matter whether public comment periods are open or closed. And so, I mean, yes is the answer in short. We always have, and so that the part of this iterative process is an opportunity as well for you to comment at the meeting, because you'll be part privy to the discussion, as the chair alluded to. And then, yes, of course, we would accept written comment. And,
well, obviously we do appreciate very much the fact that we can comment at the meeting, but I don't know that my brain works that fast, and I know that you are dealing with some really meaty issues, and some of these meetings, I assume, will be all day. You haven't discussed that. I assume these are not two-hour meetings.
Well, it's an interesting point, but go ahead. So you can submit comments within a couple of days after the meetings, and we'll try to...
Thank you very much. But thanks, this is great stuff.
Okay, thank you. The point Judy brought up in passing, what we had discussed, having meetings that would not necessarily run all day, meetings every 2 weeks, but would be really focused 2-3 hour meetings, something like that. The feeling, and it was actually Charlie Seaman's advice that when they run much longer than that, you start to lose quality. And that, but certainly, if there's a need to run longer, we'll run longer. Other comments? Yes, sir. Mr. Shope.
David Schoep. I have a farm in Lebanon Township. First, I would like, well, let me give you a few little news updates. One is a battle between owls may be decided by guns. And they're talking about the northern spotted owl. It seems that the northern spotted owl out here can stop a project. And out in Oregon and Washington, where they're considered pests, they may stop a little leg. They're going to be lured in by calls and shot at close range with shotguns. This is at a cost of $198 billion spread over 30 years. U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is doing this. So it seems the spotted owl is a mixed bag. Also, a recent article from the Express Times, Pennsylvania quietly preserving pieces of the highlands. The way they're doing it is they're buying it. What a unique concept. They're buying it from willing sellers, quietly, but they're doing it. They're not taking it by confiscatory regulation. And I listened with interest to Mr. Siemens, who's going to determine our future for us. So he says, will Mr. Siemens consider changing these maps to reflect soil classifications, which you haven't done yet? Is Class E soil the same as Class A soil? Will that be a determination that Mr. Siemens will make in determining our future? Will Mr. Siemens consider ag viability in terms of the marketplace? Will he consider return on equity, which for the entire state is 2.2%, according to the 2002 U.S. Department of Agriculture statistics? Incidentally, the most viable county in terms of return on equity is Union County, where they get 15% return on equity. The farmer's average age, determined by the same report in 2002, was 57 and going up. There are virtually no young farmers coming online. When they do, they make front page news, because it is news. And also, Mr. Siemens, back in 2003, wrote in an issue of ANJAC entitled The Takings Issue Redux, in which Mr. Siemens says, a regulation will not be a taking unless the diminution exceeds reason on the order of 75 to 95%. That's the reasonable standard at which it becomes a taking. I suggest the 75 to 95% should apply to all asset classes, most particularly the pensions for public employees. And then he goes on to say, in other words, the takings issue is now all but resolved. A regulation can affect the taking, but only in a very limited and exceptional circumstance. That's Mr. Siemens. No wonder you hired him. I think I'll leave it at that.
Thank you. Other comments? Yes, sir.
Good afternoon. My name is Andy Drysdale. My wife and I live and own farmland at 32 East Fox Chase Road in Chester, New Jersey. We have been trapped in the preservation area since August of 2004. Some of our land is now in the conservation zone of the Regional Master Plan, which I guess is now going to be changed. Along with many others, we are victims of environmental extremists who have led politicians and legislators and the New Jersey DEP to do unnecessary things. A perfect example of something unnecessary is the New Jersey Highlands Water Protection and Planning Act. If there had been funding in place to purchase the development rights at fair market value from willing sellers statewide, ample open space would have been preserved and maintained. The money was not there, however, for several reasons. Although there are many good state employees and some good state programs, there are also many corrupt state officials, too many do-little state workers with large benefit packages, and too many unnecessary large bureaucratic state programs. Not only was the act unnecessary, but it was created without funding, without science or planning being in place. Would you not think that the word planning in the name of the act would have given someone a clue that they needed to hire a professional planner, not just 3 years ago, but 4 or 5 years ago, when this nonsense first began? Finally, how does the state of Florida survive without Highlands? And then I have a very short letter that my wife wanted to read to you, but she was unable to be here tonight, so I'd like to read that. It's addressed to Mr. John Weingart, Highlands Council, 100 North Road, Chester, New Jersey. Dear Mr. Weingart, this letter is in response to your statement that was published in the Daily Record Friday, August 10, 2007, regarding the Highlands Plan. The statement was, quote, "Getting it done quickly is important, but not more important than getting it done well. My opinion is that it is impossible to get something done well that should never have existed in the first place. Sincerely, Lois Drysdale." Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry. Could I just make a point of clarification that we have had professional planners on staff from the beginning, and currently we have Chris Dennis, Mary Jude Haddock-Weiler, Erin Lynham, and Megan Lang, all professional planners on staff.
Okay. Any other comments?
So now we're hiring another one, right?
Right. Well, good. Let's see, show of hands. I saw one more hand. Two more hands. Okay, great.
Hi, thank you. Bill O'Hearn. I'm the Director of Conservation Advocacy for the New York New Jersey Trail Conference. I'm also a councilman in the borough of Ringwood, Passaic County, 100% in the preservation area. I just thought I'd bring you a little good news about acquisitions in the Highlands. We've just signed a contract with the owner of Westbrook Mountain, 155 acres for $4 million. He had no approvals. This was based on a pre-Highlands value, and I think certainly it's an indication that if the towns and counties and the state, and we'd like your support for federal money out of the Highlands Conservation Act of fiscal year 2008 to be directed to this purchase, we expect to close in 9 to 12 months. It's been a gem, a jewel of the Highlands for probably 20 years, and now it's going to be preserved, as we say in New Jersey, in perpetuity. So I'm proud of that purchase. I think it's stunning evidence that it can be done, and we will continue to purchase land in the Highlands. Thank you very much.
Would you pay for the bill?
$4 million.
Thank you.
Hello, Helen Heinrich, representing New Jersey Farm Bureau. I heard a lot of things that sound very welcome. The reformatting sounds like a very good idea. It's beginning to make sense, and perhaps we can see how it all fits together and how the mapping, all layers of the mapping end up. I'm very glad to hear that there won't be any more pre-conformance working out of details. As I understand it, that's going to be part of the plan that the staff will be working very hard to finish up. And that'll be discussed, I guess, in these workshop meetings. And I'm also very glad to see, but a little bit nervous to see, that agriculture and landowner equity are both goals, policies, and objectives, and also programs. So it sounds like they're going to be somewhat of a focus. And we're not sure exactly where that's going. We have no feedback from you about our comments at this point. And the fact that we won't know what these revisions or these reformattings will propose before the meeting is troublesome. I understand why we want to do that. And we'll try to be on our toes to be part of the meeting and respond to you also. But as you know, the New Jersey Farm Bureau and the Department of Ag have tried to be partners in this whole planning process from the very beginning, from the task force, from the putting the act together and this plan, and we're prepared to do that again. So we're very concerned, we're very involved in this, and we'll see what happens with the new process. Thanks.
Thank you.
May I ask a clarification question on her comments?
Sure.
Helen, you said you haven't gotten feedback on something. What was that? I couldn't hear you.
Well, we submitted quite detailed comments on the plan, and we don't have any, well, no one does have any idea of how their comments were received. But in the absence of any feedback at all, we're still in a state of anxiety about which way it's going to go for this particular community in the Highlands.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. Monique Purcell from the Department of Agriculture. Actually, I only had a couple questions about procedure. I agree. I do think that this sounds like a good strategy that Mr. Siemens laid out. However, I was concerned about a couple things, one of them being the committees. I know that you talked about, Debbie brought up the PDC, and that will now be a party of one, so to speak, but I was questioning the Natural Resource Committee, the Ag Committee, the TDR Committee, and wondering how those issues were going to continue to come together to inform the plan. And the second question I had was about, actually about pre-conformance or conformance. Since that has all changed now, I was thinking that there would be a way for the public and state agencies to be involved with shaping what conformance would look like, and now it sounds like it would kind of unfold and we would receive it as part of this workshop process. So those are the issues I just wanted to bring and put on record because they were just things that, you know, concerned me as we discussed how we were going to move forward.
On the conformance process, there'll be two opportunities. There'll be the implementation mechanisms spelled out in the draft plan, which will be subject to comment. And then there will be the negotiations, discussions with each municipality and counties in terms of conformance with the plan that will be a public process.
Okay, because right now in the draft plan there's, you know, some kind of issues that would be addressed during conformance, but we often talked about, you know, thresholds being developed or however that was kind of going to shape up. We were surely hoping that we could help inform that, so just hoping that that is still the way it's going to happen. I'm just not sure how it would happen. If we get, you know, work products, you know, at each work session. So just something to think about. I'm not sure how we can coordinate, but we'd surely like to do that.
And on the first part, I think, you know, we're going to have to see as we go forward which committees need to meet and how we squeeze that in between council meetings.
We will, Mr. Chair, though, continue to work with state agencies.
Sure, yeah.
And I know we had a meeting with you recently, Monique, and we'll continue to work. And our responses in this next period of time as we come out with different components will hopefully be responsive as well to some of the, well, not hopefully, will be responsive to some of the issues. But we'll continue to have a dialogue with state agencies, and we do have a manner already laid out in which we will do that.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I think there are no further public comments. Is everyone able to stay if we take a 10-minute break for break some food back, and then we'll come back here and have an executive session? Okay. All right. So I'll take a 10-minute break and then we'll be back.
I'm glad to be here.
If I don't go to the town concert. I know it's not in the right. I know it's not.